These days, we're all tightening our belts. But what if your actual belt could earn you some extra cash? On the Vinted app, you can easily sell your clothes and accessories. And unlike many resale apps, Vinted has no selling fees, so you keep every dollar you earn. It's extra cash to spend on a fresh manicure or gas money for your next weekend getaway and a drink when you get there. Find extra money in your closet. Download the Vinted app today.
Amazon Business honors Jill Lau, Chief Procurement Officer of Global Network Bank. Last week, Jill saved big and used Amazon Business to help her team buy 327 headsets. Now Bob can keep his conversations to himself.
Wait, am I still on speakerphone?
With business buying easier than before, Jill now uses her extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
Thank you for holding.
Hang it up, Bob.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
The leaders.
Senator Ted Cruz.
Thank you, Chris. It's always great to be with you.
Former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Hey, thanks for having us on. I appreciate it very much.
The newsmakers.
Folks like Peter Schweitzer.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be on with you.
Ann Coulter.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you.
He's colossal. Stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
Their first concern is not for the security and safety of the people of this country. Their first concern is protecting their left-wing behinds.
The Signal Storm Podcast.
Guess who was back at the White House? Guess who was back at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Listen to this.
And I'm especially glad to see so many of you serving President Biden as well as you served me. Although now some of you, who, let's face it, you were kids back then, are now in charge and running the show, which is a little shocking. And may also explain some of the gray hairs I'm seeing on some of you.
Well, there's Beijing Biden's puppet master, Barack Hussein Obama, saying the quiet part out loud. His team is in there running Biden. His team is, quote, running the show. And there you go. Just admitting that they were there for Michelle Obama's unveiling of her portrait at the White House. But there you go. Now, look, because of all of the totalitarianism going on inside of the federal government, where the federal government is being turned against we, the people. That's right. With Beijing Biden in there giving his speech, saying anybody who disagrees with a Democrat, anybody who disagrees with him is an enemy of the state. Yeah, these make America great people. Yeah, they're threats to the United States of America. With all that going on, what's happening in the states is that much more important. The only chance we have to defend ourselves from an out-of-control anti-American federal government is the states, where, frankly, the states created the federal government, not the other way around, and we ought to remember that. So we're going to be talking to two gubernatorial types. One is an aspiring governor. The other one is a serving governor, and I'll get to that in a minute. But I'll be talking to at least one of them about the speech that Joe Biden gave and how now the Democrats are calling anybody who denies elections a fascist. Here's Sonny Hostin, an election denier from The View. Have a listen to this.
The assumption was, at least mine, I'll speak for myself, that Russia must have been involved because we knew from the Mueller report that Russia had some involvement. Russia thought that that it could benefit from a Trump presidency, which it did, by the way. But I remember calling...
Wait a minute. Sorry, you look at Russia today, they are far more benefiting from this regime, the Biden regime, as they conduct a war on American energy and gas prices and oil prices are through the roof. And that only benefits Russia. That didn't happen during Trump, Sonny. That happened during Beijing Biden's administration.
But I remember calling him an illegitimate president, and that was wrong. I should not have said that because he was not an illegitimate president.
But that was how you felt. You had every right to say it.
Oh, yeah. There's Whoopi Goldberg. You had every right to say it. But, you know, we don't have the right to say it today, do we, Whoopi? No. You get called a fascist. You get called a fascist when you're an election denier. You get called an enemy of America when you start questioning what happened in the 2020 election. Karine Jean-Pierre, Biden's new brain, she was also is also an election denier.
The new attention on the MAGA Republicans. You tweeted in 2016, Trump stole an election.
I was waiting, Peter, when you were going to ask me that question.
Well, great. Here we go. You tweeted Trump stole an election. You tweeted Brian Kemp stole an election. If denying election results is extreme now, why would
So let's be really clear. That comparison that you made is just ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous because when Democrats call out elections, when Democrats are election deniers, when they call Republicans illegitimate, that's okay. But when Republicans do it to Democrats, that's not okay. That's what makes it ridiculous. So now here's Karine Jean-Pierre, who the sitting occupier of the Oval Office, because she's an election denier, called her a threat to America, called Sonny Hostin a threat to America. Listen to what Democrat Jamie Raskin said about those who deny elections. Listen to this.
He lost the election. Two of the hallmarks of a fascist political party are, one, they don't accept the results of elections.
Wait a minute. There's Raskin saying that those who do not accept the results of elections are fascists. Fascists, you say? Well, you know what? Karine Jean-Pierre, Sonny Hostin, anybody else?
The election. Two of the hallmarks of a fascist political party are, one, they don't accept the results of elections that don't go their way.
And you can have the election stolen from you.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
There absolutely is a cloud of illegitimacy.
So that legitimacy is in question, yes.
So that was a very tainted election. And in that sense, it's illegitimate.
They won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
And Al Gore won that election. I think he won it anyway.
Actually, I think I carried Florida.
Bush versus Gore. A court took away a presidency.
If all the votes were counted in Florida, that Al Gore would be president today and George Bush would be back in office.
I come from Florida, where you and others participated in what I call the United States coup d'etat.
An objection, because 10 of the 29 electoral votes cast by Florida were cast by electors not lawfully certified.
Yeah, the first guy was Jamie Raskin. The last guy was Jamie Raskin, calling election deniers fascists, and he himself, by his own description, by his own standards, is a fascist. This is where we are, folks. This is why Sonny Hostin is saying, sorry, I was wrong. Oops, sorry, I was wrong. Because now the line is, if you're an election denier, you're a fascist. So they got to all start apologizing or rewriting history. Because they are what they accuse others of being, fascists. So we'll ask about these divisions being sown by the Democrat Party of an aspiring governor in the great state of Pennsylvania. Doug Mastriano is going to join us. And the current sitting governor of the state of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott, all coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
All right, let's get to our first guest. He's a conservative husband and father, Colonel, U.S. Army combat veteran, and Republican nominee for governor in the great state of Pennsylvania. Doug Mastriano, welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Chris, thanks for having me on here, and I'm looking forward to a new day in PA and Pennsylvania. It wants to look like Texas and Florida as far as economic policies, and that's what I'm aiming and fixing to do.
Amen to that. Before we get to the Trump rally, which the former president had a lot of good things to say about you, I want to tackle some of these issues. The Democrats have been coordinating a war, as you know, on American energy, and it impacts states like Texas. It impacts states like Pennsylvania. Now you've got Vladimir Putin over there cutting off energy to Germany and to a lot of Europe, and that Nord Stream 1 pipeline. And Trump warned everybody this is what they would do. They would weaponize energy. And so America had to remain energy independent. If you're elected governor, what will you do to make sure that Pennsylvania's people are not harmed by the anti-energy American left and Joe Biden?
And there's a lot a governor can do in that vein. You know, as you know, your governor has been a huge champion of the people of Texas and of the citizens and Constitution. Up here in Pennsylvania, on day one, I'm going to get us out of this climate accord carbon tax called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which Tom Wolf, our sitting governor, and the governor never had a more appropriate name than Tom Wolf. But we're going to be out of that on day one. And I'm going to roll back these regulations that he's imposed on us over the past 8 years on our energy sector. And we're going to drill and dig like no tomorrow. I'm going to, of course, expedite our permitting process, which is a problem. We're going to rein in, of course, the bureaucracy and bureaucrats and get them off our people's backs. You know, we have the potential in Pennsylvania here to become number one in the nation on energy production. But we've shut down and limited our own ability to do so. And additionally, I'm looking forward to building pipelines to Philadelphia so we could be an exporter with a beautiful new state-of-the-art liquefied natural gas terminal as well as one in Lake Erie. That will take a little time. But Donald Trump was right. We saw that speech in 2018 in front of the UN when he warned the Germans, and the German delegation mocked and laughed and ridiculed our president. Now these people in Germany are being warned there's no more hot showers because of the energy crisis.
Yeah, even worse than that, it could be a very cold, deadly winter because they relied on Vladimir Putin rather than their own common sense. Back here at home, there's a group of Americans in Colorado making headlines. 22,000 utility customers, and they're not the only ones. Thousands upon thousands of utility customers have turned over their thermostats in their homes to utilities to be able to adjust these temperatures. And they did so in Colorado in the middle of a heat wave. You got 22,000 customers who are reporting that it got to 88 degrees in their homes because their thermostats were locked. And of course, you know what's going on in California, rolling blackouts out there because they've signed under this green energy boondoggle. How crucial is it that the individual states like yours in Pennsylvania, like Texas, elect conservatives who are going to push back rather than work hand in glove with the Biden regime's anti-energy policies?
Yeah, I mean, it's so imperative. We saw during the 2020 and 2021 COVID shutdown by largely Democrat governors how they abused their power for their own gain. And we saw the duplicity as well as they shut down businesses like salons. Nancy Pelosi then goes to the only salon open in San Francisco, open for her without a mask on. Very irresponsible, very hypocritical. You know, and we saw Gavin Newsom, and of course, at the French Laundry, you know, enjoying a good meal with friends while everyone else is prohibited from doing so. It's dangerous, and we should never trust the government or the government bureaucrats to be responsible in controlling the thermostats in our homes. This is exactly what the liberals want to do. It's always about control. It was not about the safety of your kids wearing masks in the school. It was about control. It was not about your businesses. It was about control. And so you got to have pro-Constitution governors to make sure it never happens again. Look, I never, Chris, wanted to run for office. I was in the Army most of my entire adult life, and I could not ride off into the sunset back in 2017 when I was retiring because things are pretty bad off. And, you know, I'm sitting there complaining about it, and I was challenged by a young man to do something about it. And so I got into politics to do something about it. We need more like-minded governors and senators and leaders in both the state house and the federal house here that will honor their oath in the Constitution. Because in a lot of cases with politicians, we see oath breakers. My opponent, Shapiro, is the attorney general. He's failed as the attorney general. Crime has gone up 37% in Pennsylvania. Murders have doubled. We're number four in fentanyl deaths in the nation. On and on and on. He can't run on that. Additionally, he can't run on the fact that he shut down the state and sued nuns, that he sued to keep kids masked up, that he sued to keep business shut down. He looked the other way when the elderly were dying because of policies of sending the sick back into homes. And now he's trying to sound like a Republican that, oh, maybe that was, you know, maybe I should have stood with the people. Yeah, no kidding. Don't believe a politician who, on one hand, when you need them, does nothing, and then when they need your vote, will lie. You know, politicians have a habit of saying anything that's necessary to get a vote. Look at the work of their hands and make the right call.
Right. He's very much a Mitch McConnell type Republican, if you want a measuring stick. Doug Mastriano, folks, he is running for governor of the great state of Pennsylvania. Sir, according to the Texas lawsuit, your state violated the Constitution when your Supreme Court and your left-wing extremist governor, who, by the way, threw a whole bunch of China virus positive patients into nursing homes and never paid the piper for that. I think I want to throw that in there. But back to the election, they violated the Constitution by changing election laws that were passed by your state's legislature. And he has never been held accountable. Your attorney general has never been held accountable. Your entire state government has never been held accountable for violating election laws as charged by the state of Texas. What will you do to bring a reckoning to that state government if you're elected governor that will rectify the violation of the Constitution that Pennsylvania undertook in the 2020 elections as it pertains to election laws?
And God bless Texas. And your Attorney General Paxton is absolutely 100% correct. That lawsuit, I told Donald Trump in 2020, in December 2020, that was a lawsuit of all the lawsuits that was dead on target. Our elections in Pennsylvania were compromised and undermined by the unilateral actions of our Secretary of State, who is appointed by the governor, and she was a political hack, and she proved to be so. She changed election law in midstream just weeks before the election, and even a night before, she's changing it to the advantage of Democrat counties. We have like six of our 67 counties are Democrat counties, and she was twisting things in a way to advantage them. And she completely compromised our election laws. She was acting as a senator and as a representative there by changing laws. We're the lawmakers. And so when that case went forward, that was when I had my hopes on it. It's just ridiculous and sad that the U.S. Supreme Court lacked the courage to hear it. They didn't even give it. They kicked it on a technicality that there was no standing. And I do know for a fact I did an amicus with several other senators on that. A state senator does not have standing on an issue related to Pennsylvania state law.
Right.
And so that still needs to be addressed. But what I can do as governor, I get to appoint the Secretary of State, and then, of course, I have direct control over the elections and how they're executed. And working together with the General Assembly, we can pass legislation and sign into law to solidify our elections. And one of the areas we're going to hope to start with next year, of course, is voter ID. Pretty simple.
And will you bring a reckoning for your state's malfeasance if you find evidence that there was malfeasance? And by the way, it is demonstrably true that Governor Wolf violated the U.S. Constitution by changing the rules, not through the legislature as the Constitution prescribes, but by executive fiat. And your state Supreme Court violated the Constitution by changing election laws, which was not their legal right to do. Will you bring accountability in that government?
Yeah, I absolutely will, and we must. You know, for radicals in the government to think it's okay and they can get away with manipulating people's votes and undermining our republic or democracies, I'd like to say, undermining our form of government here is unconscionable. There have been cases of people being arrested in Philadelphia and elsewhere for manipulating and ballots and cheating, and we're going to look at this at a greater level. I want full accountability. The damage that these Democrats and these radicals in the court, as well as our Attorney General and our Governor Wolf here, has done a lot of harm to our system of government, and people have lost faith in the system in many cases. And so I'm pleading with the people of Pennsylvania, don't stand aside, do something about it. And the least you can do is vote on 8 November. But we need you to roll up your sleeves and maybe volunteer to be a poll watcher, because if we have accountability and transparency in all the polling stations, all 9,000 polling stations across Pennsylvania, we can ensure that our elections will be of course, more transparent and more accurate. So please sign up at DougForGov.com to help us actually do something about it.
DougForGov.com. DougForGov.com. So let's talk about the Trump rally that just took place this last weekend. And he came there and threw his support behind you. I guess there's a headline today in Massachusetts. The Trump-backed candidate there also won last night. The establishment losing to President Trump on a regular basis. Do you think that the jig is up for establishment surrender caucus Republicans? And did you standing there with Trump kind of solidify that narrative that America first is where it's at for conservatives?
Yeah, obviously Donald Trump is extremely popular across the nation, and especially in Pennsylvania. In that rally, he had easily at least 10,000 people in the hall and supposedly near Joe Biden's hometown. You know, Joe Biden had swung through Pennsylvania the previous week now, including Monday, three times. And he only drew, I think, his biggest crowd at one of the events was maybe 65 people, and then the other two were less than that. The guy can't draw flies, and neither can my opponent. people remember that Donald Trump, he risked everything and set aside an easy life to protect our freedoms. And so, yes, the jig is up. Republicans, we have to honor our promises. If you're on the campaign trail making promises and sounding like a fighter and a champion of the Constitution, you need to be that when you're in office. Otherwise, you're not going to last long. And so people are looking for men and women to honor their word because we've lost so many of our freedoms and rights. Everything is at stake.
Last thing, you saw Joe Biden's speech in Pennsylvania. Just give me your unvarnished reaction when you saw the optics, when you heard the content where he labeled anybody who opposes him and the Democrat Socialist Party that, he labeled them anti-American.
That the president of the United States would go to Independence Hall, a national shrine where presidents in the past have gone before to give speeches of unity and talking about our great collective history. And instead he used it as a campaign speech to destroy his political opposition, to mock them, standing in front of a building with the blood red colors on it and with Marines standing behind him. I was disgusted by what I saw. I'm calling upon Joe Biden to renounce that speech because it did nothing to unify the country. And for a guy who claims he's going to be the great unifier, it's the complete opposite. And as well as my opponent, Josh Shapiro, needs to renounce that hate-filled speech, because just because you have a different opinion than a Democrat doesn't make you a semi-fascist. And actually using these tactics that Joe Biden's using to oppress and shut down the opposition, that's actually fascist tactics. You know, I'm sorry to say it, but you guys are acting like the fascists. You need to roll it in and bring the temperature down.
That's what they do. That's what they do. Hey, man, give me the, if folks want to help you out here in the great state of Texas so that we'll have a partner in the fight against this left-wing extremist government, where can they go?
Thank you, Chris. Go to DougForGov.com. That's Doug, number four, Gov. GOV.com.
Doug Mastriano, thank you very much for the service to the country, sir, and good luck in your race.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. All the best to you, my friend.
Okay, from an aspiring governor to the current serving governor in the great state of Texas, Governor Greg Abbott.
Great to be back. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you. California, as you know, seeing rolling blackouts due to their heat wave out there. You know, it's a surprise to Californians that it gets hot in summer, but it's not a surprise to us. Now, they rely on solar energy primarily and some natural gas out there to power their state, much like Texas does. Now, we're abundant in this clean, reliable natural gas. Yet the last time we checked, this state does not have a reliable power plant using natural gas even permitted to be built. So are we rectifying that so we don't go down the road of California here in the state of Texas?
100%. First, as you, I couldn't tell exactly what you said about California, but they tried to completely go off of the use of any fossil fuel for their power grid. To the contrary, the primary component of the Texas power grid is natural gas, and since Winter Storm Uri, we've added, so it, as you might imagine, it takes several years to build a natural gas facility. But that said, after Winter Storm Uri, we've added what are called peaker plants that provide natural gas generation to add power to it. Since Winter Storm Uri, we've added about 20% more power generation capacity between now and this time next year. We're going to add about another 18% of power generation capacity. We're going through what's called a market redesign by the Public Utilities Commission that's focused on what they call dispatchable power. Dispatchable power is immediately summonable power that you just flip the switch and it turns on, and that means primarily natural gas. And so our focus going forward will be to make sure that we have more natural gas available. Chris, I got to make this very, very clear, and that is, I signed 14 bipartisan laws in this last session that truly fixed the grid. Here's what we did. We both reformed and winterized and weatherized the grid. We increased power generation. We kept electricity price spikes. And what we've done is the grid, as you probably know, this summer, we set all-time record highs in summer weather, about 11 or 12 record demands for power. And we came through it without fail, where the grid was able to meet all-time record demand. Get this, on one day in Texas, we had more demand for power than California and New York combined. And since the reforms that I signed, no Texan has lost power because of the power grid. And so the power grid is performing better than it's ever performed in the history of Texas.
And Governor, can you confirm for us now that we will be bringing natural gas, new natural gas powered power plants on that will benefit the state of Texas, meaning we produce our natural gas, our people and jobs will be created here in Texas instead of farming out to solar and solar power, which goes, comes from China and benefits China. Can you confirm that for us?
The answer to your question is 100% yes, but I want to expand upon it because you said, in a way, benefit the state of Texas with regard to what we're doing on natural gas production. But it's also going to benefit Texas because it will further stabilize and strengthen the power grid by us continuing to add natural gas to our power grid.
Okay, very good. Governor, there's some you're making national headlines and you're causing a lot of problems for leftists out there. Here's Lori Lightfoot. She is the racist governor of the racist mayor of Chicago. She's the one who said that she doesn't want to talk to white reporters. She'll only talk to brown and black reporters. That is racist. Here's what she had to say about you, sir. Have a listen.
I understand the pressures that the people of Texas and some of the other border states are under. We see that on a daily basis. But the thing to do is not this. This is creating a human crisis. And treating people without dignity, without respect, it's not what we are as Americans. And it's, frankly, another demonstration of unpatriotic conduct on the part of the governor of Texas. We can and must do better as Americans. The rest of the world is watching us.
Yeah. She went on to question your Christianity, Governor. You want to respond?
Well, what I often find is that when people go to name calling, it means they really have nothing to say about the substance, and that's exactly the case here with these hypocritical Democrat mayors in liberal cities that are self-identified as sanctuary cities, and they're more than happy to identify as a sanctuary city until they actually have to walk the walk, and that's what happened in D.C. and New York, and now in Chicago. And she's complaining about receiving a couple of bus loads of about 100 migrants to their community. Whereas, listen, we get that many an hour, if not more than that per hour on our border. And so it's time for other communities across the entire country to begin to help out with regard to the crisis. So she called it a crisis. It is a crisis. It's a crisis caused by the Biden administration. And if she wants to change what's going on in that crisis, she needs to talk to the one person who has the power to do it, and that is President Joe Biden. For one, but for another, she's also hypocritical because, as you know, Joe Biden has been flying people in from the Texas border in the middle of the night to Chicago, to New York, to other places across the country, and she's not complaining about that being inhumanitarian. They only want to complain when it involves a Republican doing it. They need just to stop complaining, step up, help out, do their part. To help deal with the crisis caused by Joe Biden.
Governor Greg Abbott, our guest right now. And Governor, it seems you're getting the attention of these left-wing cities. They must have just thought that we were making this crises, multiple crises, up because we hosted a delegation from New York. New York City came down to see this disaster for themselves. The first time any one of these sanctuary cities has been to the Texas border to see the catastrophe that was brought in by Joe Biden. Are you convinced that it was your tactic of busing these illegal aliens to these left-wing cities that finally broke the logjam and convinced them to come down and stop believing Joe Biden's lies and actually see for themselves?
Absolutely. First on the lies, remember it was just last week or the week before when Joe Biden's press secretary said, these people are not just walking across the border. How ignorant is that? But we need Joe Biden's press secretary to come down here and see how they are actually walking across the border. But the more we get people down here from New York, from Washington, D.C., from Chicago, from wherever, the more they're going to realize, wait a second, this is unbelievable what's going on. As you know, there's been more than 2 million people who've come across the border illegally over just the past year alone. Mm-hmm. And so once they start learning about this, but more importantly, perhaps, is once media beyond Fox News starts reporting all this, like ABC, NBC, CBS, and the entire nation will begin to realize what they were blind to before the past couple of months. Most people didn't even think we had a crisis at the border. Now they're beginning to understand that crisis. And I think the despite Biden's extremely low polling numbers on the border, I think they will continue to go down even more now once America is learning about the crisis caused by Joe Biden.
Yeah, on Newsmax, Governor, and I made sure your people knew about this, they were able to capture on drone footage the narco-terrorists actually setting up entrenched positions, heavily armed entrenched positions. They're militarizing the border, are the narco-terrorists. Given that, and given the fact that we're on pace to have 6 million illegal aliens into the United States by the end of Joe Biden's first 2 years holding office, Arizona's gubernatorial candidate, Kerry Lake, who's not a fan, by the way, of busing the illegals that you're doing, she says that if she's elected governor, she will declare an invasion on day one and stop illegal aliens from setting one foot in the state of Arizona. What's your impression of her plan to stop illegal immigration because the federal government is not?
Well, let's go back to my plan, which is the latest thing that I did was issue an executive order where I invoked the invasion clause of Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution. I invoked the invasion clause of Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, and I invoked the invasion clause of the Texas Constitution, so that Texas DPS now, they are not arresting these illegal immigrants and turning them back over to the Border Patrol. They are arresting illegal immigrants and returning them to the border. Point one. Point two is the Texas National Guard. They are now repelling and turning back illegal immigrants before they even get to or across the border. And the National Guard have turned back over 25,000 illegal immigrants trying to get into the state of Texas. So we are doing exactly that. Plus, Texas is the only state in the history of the country that has built its own border wall. So the gubernatorial candidate in Arizona talked about deploying the National Guard. I've deployed it to the National Guard, up to 10,000 National Guard to the border to make sure that we're doing everything we can. And I've also invoked the process of establishing compacts with other states, as well as compacts with Mexican governors to make sure we're doing more on both sides to secure our border. So we're using tools that have never been used before by any governor in the history of the United States of America to do more than anybody's ever done to secure our border.
Governor Abbott, a strong Texas, I firmly believe, is essential to a strong America. If folks want to find out more about your candidacy to be reelected as governor, where can they go?
Go to gregabbott.com, GREGABBOTT.com.
Governor, thanks for the visit as always. You're welcome back anytime, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Take care.
That's going to do it for the Salcedo Storm podcast. Two websites, my friends, two websites I want you to go to first. Number one is TexasScorecard.com, TexasScorecard.com. That's where you get all the big news in Texas. And if it's big news in Texas, likely it's going to be impacting the rest of these United States. Also go to ChrisSalcedo.com. There you can find me on the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And you can also find me on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern until 5 o'clock every day. Always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.
These days, we're all tightening our belts. But what if your actual belt could earn you some extra cash? On the Vinted app, you can easily sell your clothes and accessories. And unlike many resale apps, Vinted has no selling fees, so you keep every dollar you earn. It's extra cash to spend on a fresh manicure or gas money for your next weekend getaway and a drink when you get there. Find extra money in your closet. Download the Vinted app today.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.